This time on Compassion Radio.
I do appreciate, too, the absolute truth of the other side, which is you are complete, whole, and lacking in nothing. Mm-hmm. Both those things are coexisted in us, and that's why I think we have so much dissonance at times, because we can't believe that God truly loves us and empowers us and accepts us fully while we're going through that process.
That's one of the things that I love about the worship arts, because the worship arts can encompass so many things: storytelling, dance, videography, stage design, all those things that become expressions of God's reality.
And expressions of our response to that reality.
Exactly.
Hello, and welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, we take you to the front lines of Christianity as we talk with people who live their lives in a missional way. Is the life of the worship leader simply getting up and singing songs to the Lord and teaching new songs to the congregation? Or is there more than meets the eye? Today's guest, Andy Krieger, says yes, there is a lot more. Bram?
Well, like we mentioned on yesterday's program about what it's like to be a worship leader and what our obligations are, I would simply say that the obligation of a worship leader is to lead worshipfully. It doesn't mean that we get up there and just teach new songs. You can learn that off the internet anytime you want. But to exemplify in your own self the kind of things that we say we value in worship. And that is to be expectant, to be respectful, and to be ready for whatever God might throw at us. Because we are worshiping a God who is a gift giver. And so it seems right, I think, that every worship leader should begin with a gift-giving spirit. They're excited to give their gifts to God on the altar of worship. They're excited to invite others to come with them to hand over these offerings to God and to enjoy being together in the process of worshiping God. It's a spiritual discipline. It's not just about a talent. It is submitting everything that God's given you for the purpose of enjoying Him in His house.
Andy, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Hey, it's great to be here and to catch up with you a little bit.
And we've talked a bit about what God has brought us through over the past 35 years, and it's amazing how many things are parallel.
Yeah.
When you have the kind of experience you have at the time you have it, you take advantage of the opportunities God gives you, you end up doing some amazing things for that generation. And of course, things are a lot different now in the church and in the world than they were back in the 1980s.
Absolutely.
But some things have stayed really very much the same. And of course, it's more than just the theology. It's about the core values of worship within our culture. Every generation struggles with how to be effective in their worship. So they know that they're doing it right, so to speak, that God is pleased with what we offer, and that we experience Him within the worship life that we think Christianity is supposed to offer to us. And we have lots of expectations for what God should and could be doing for us in worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I were trained in a lot of the skills and the disciplines of worship over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you a few things about what God brought you through in the past few years and why the word compassion is coming alive for you recently.
I think, like a lot of worship leaders, if you're not in that field, you don't necessarily see the ups and downs that a worship leader can go through.
We go through plenty.
Absolutely. It's like any other position that you might have in any other job. People are people.
Yeah.
People have emotions. People have pride. That's what it comes down to. And for me, as I look back on my recent experience, and by recent experience, I'll say 10 to 15 years, what God has renewed in me is a passion for people.
Mm.
We've all seen the worship environments in churches change. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. People today communicate differently than they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We change our methodology. We change our style. But people are the same. People still have needs.
They are, but they're still the product of their environment. And
absolutely.
Now, of course, all of my kids, and yours too, growing up, they're all digital natives.
Yes.
And by that, we mean that they literally see the world in conjunction with or through their electronic devices. We as parents who were raised as digital competents, we learn how to operate a machine in our young adulthood, are a lot different than our parents who had to learn technology one generation of technology at a time over the course of many years. Just jumping from the phone to the fax was a
right.
big shift. And a different perspective on how you could be present happened when we went to video conferencing in the last 20 years.
I like the word present that you just said, because one of the challenges that worship leaders have today is to make a connection with people. today's generation is very unconnected when it comes to relationships mm-hmm. with one another. They communicate on their phone. They communicate on their computer. To sit down, sit across the desk from somebody like you and I are doing right now, is very much a foreign thing to a lot of people today. Worship is a connected kind of experience. And so you have a huge hurdle to get over in the worship environment today because people don't connect like they used to.
One of the key words in the past 15 years for worship leading in our country, or in the West in general, has been the word immersive. Mm-hmm. Now, we do a lot of immersive worship now. We try to surround people with stimuli that hopefully communicate the truth through different kinds of iconography, through different styles of audio sensations and ways to interact with the word and with each other. But community or connect, I don't know, is embedded within that word. I think it's possible to be immersed in something but still not connect to something.
Absolutely. I remember going to a conference probably 10 years ago now. As the conference started, there was one of my favorite worship groups was leading the conference. They opened up, and as they began to perform, for lack of better words, mm-hmm. you know, they had the big production. They had the environmental video that completely surrounded you. It had all of those production elements to it. And to this day, I remember it very, very vividly mm-hmm. for that experience.
Right.
But what I really remember is the presence of God that touched me at a point of need that night. And I really honestly believe that that could have happened without any of those extraneous things.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's broadcast is coming up right after this.
Hi, friends. This is Cher Nelson. I can't believe how fast this year has flown by, and here we are in the heart of our annual Bibles for China project. I know many of you look forward to this every year, excited to make a major impact on the world through your year-end giving. And we have great news. Our dear friend, John Podiety, and the folks at Bibles for the World were so encouraged by your response last year that they have joyfully asked us to partner with them again. Their enthusiasm is a high compliment to your faithful action. Last year, you helped deliver thousands of new study Bibles and Gospels of John to churches across three regions of China. And friends, we need your help again. Won't you help our precious family in China receive a copy of God's Word this Christmas season? We want to be able to send as many Bibles to China as possible. Will you please partner with us in this very important endeavor? Your gift will help to place a Bible in the hands of a Chinese Christian on the other side of the world, people in desperate need of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and may you have a wonderful Christmas with your family and friends. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. Here's Frank to tell you how to partner with us.
You can support the Compassion Radio 2019 Bibles for China project right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. It's really easy to do. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone, just go ahead and text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thank you, friends, and God bless.
Come for me. Come for me, my people. Come for me.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Come for ye, my people.
I had heard before from mentors of ours, we heard the story many times, that there are no steps down in God's plan.
No.
And where you step up is where God is lifting you to new places of ministry. And every step in maturity and going farther down the road is always up in His eyes.
Right.
So you step into a new kind of responsibility of being a shepherd as well as a worship leader, mm-hmm. and you're having that love grow in you for these families that have real needs. You're more aware of them than you ever would have been in a large church.
Right.
But you don't want the church to stay small forever. You want it to grow,
right?
In numbers and in maturity and in impact in your community. So reach out with me and imagineer this thing 3, 5, 10 years down the road. Because there's lots of people listening to the program right now that are in churches like that where they would love it to grow. But they don't see potential for it to happen where their community is. Maybe the community's not growing. So they assume that the church can't grow. Talk some encouragement now into people that are hearing this program today from your experience. What kind of things do you pray for? What kind of things do you get honest with God about? And what kind of things does God put in your heart to pray for that are world-changing for you?
There's a lot of layers to that.
Yeah.
For me, what it comes down to is asking God to make me aware of my community. For example,
this is the first step of mission right here.
Right. Yeah. The neighborhood that my church is in is different than the neighborhood 5 miles from there or 10 miles from there. But God has us in this neighborhood. So my prayer is, what are the needs that are represented in this neighborhood?
Again, not the church, but the neighborhood, the place where you live, looking at all the people that God's given you to look at.
Right. Yeah. Now, we're a small church, and we do have people that drive for 10, 15, 20 miles to get there. So they're not in the immediate neighborhood, but it's still the same community. And so what it boils down for me is, what are the needs that are represented around our church? When a church is willing to look at those needs more than just acknowledging, maybe we've got a lot of single parents in this neighborhood. Okay, what are you going to do about it then? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Precisely. Now, this is the kind of stuff we talk about missionally, about how we do our projects every month. You know, right now we're focused on the babies being rescued in South Africa because of the Door of Hope project we'd sponsored for many years, which we're hoping people will step up to and help us big time this year with. But you're saying something that I want to ask for some clarification. When you look at the community around you, you also have a church community, which is the kingdom of God within that community. There's something that seems to happen for churches that take the community around them seriously, that they say, their hurts are my hurts. Their needs are our needs. In fact, their wants are things we're going to pray for because they need to know that someone else acknowledges their need. And not just looking at it, but coming to the level of being able to do something practical about that means taking ownership for the bigger community. Churches that do that are not just socially active, they're on mission. So how is that playing out for you then?
My church is in transition with that right now.
Okay.
Like a lot of churches in America, they're comfortable, you know? And if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Well, it is broken.
Because the world's broken.
Yeah. And your church does need to be growing. That doesn't mean that you're going to be a mega church in 5 years. Growing doesn't have to always mean we've doubled in size. Growing can be, wow, we've got people that are growing in their faith every single week and learning to be a disciple of Christ. That's what my church is focusing on right now for this next year, is how do we become better disciples? And that's one of those words that we throw around a lot, but what does it really mean?
You can't learn to lead if you can't learn to follow.
So I love that our church is taking that focus right now because I feel like, that's what's going to help our church to grow physically. We're going to, as we reach out and begin to meet needs in our own community, those people that live next to us, as we explore what their needs are and begin to reach out to them, we probably will see an increase in people. But what's really exciting is to see that the people in our church that are reaching out, they're going to grow in the process too. And so it comes full circle. You're ministering to your community, and your immediate church family is being blessed and growing spiritually at the same time.
And when they do grow spiritually and mature that way, obviously the fruit is evident. A mature plant yields better fruit than a first-year plant. I mean, just think about perennials like apples and cherries, whatever. When it comes harvest time, a young plant is just learning how to grow. It's not even learning how to put out fruit.
Right.
But the mature plants have grown to the point where they can focus all of their energy on the things that have eternal significance and that drop easily from the tree and can feed others. You know, that's what it means to be a fruitful vine or a fruitful branch. We have those kind of metaphors all over Scripture. So in this discipling, you are getting them on the path towards becoming fruit bearers. And when they do bear more and more fruit, more and more are fed. So that's my biggest hope in watching churches and individuals grow in their faith, is that they would become fruit bearers. Anything else you give an encouragement for about what it's like to be in a small but growing and passionate community?
It's easy to get discouraged in those communities because growth is slow.
Yeah.
Remember, though, that healthy growth, it's okay for it to be slow. You got to make sure that you are giving yourself the spiritual foundation that you need for whatever God has around the corner for you. And if you try to round that corner before you're ready, it's like an athlete who moves up to the next level in whatever sport they're in before they're ready. They're going to really struggle when they get there, and they might even fail because they weren't ready to take that step yet.
Yeah.
So don't get impatient. Let God work and take the time that he needs for you.
You know, if we go back to the fruit metaphor again, that next step in growth or productivity, we know that the most productive crops out there are pruned. And if we're going to get serious about being fruitful, we have to be willing to submit to the pruning that's going to take off all the stuff we think is part of us that's not producing fruit. And that allowing God to literally weed our garden or to prune our branches, if we're willing participants, does not mean that pruning's easy or that it's comfortable.
Right.
But being willing to say, I'm going to survive this. I am a living sacrifice. I'm not a burnt offering.
Right.
He may feel like he's burning me up, but what he's really doing is making me alive.
I recently, and I shared this with you a little bit over lunch today, went through a time in my life where I was really, really discouraged. I had been in ministry, full-time Christian ministry, my whole adult life in one form or another. Recently, I had an experience that was not a good one, not a fun one. I got to the point where I wanted to get out of ministry even. I wasn't sure that I was ever going to go back into that role because it hurt. It was painful.
Yeah.
But now, just a few years later, I can see, you know what? Yeah, that was not fun, but I'm different now because I went through that. And God used that. And I think the place that I'm at right now, I don't think I would have been ready for it. I don't think so.
Now, Andy, I'm convinced that that kind of trying times, the diverse trials that James talks about in James 1, they push you one direction or the other. You're either going to go towards compassion and humility, or you're going to go towards bitterness and self-righteousness.
I've been there.
There are really no other options. You're either going to go toward the one or the other. There's no middle ground between the two. So people that are tenderized by their struggles and by being misunderstood or mistreated, even in ministry, that come back to the Lord and say, if that's what you want, I accept it as you are faithful and just right on my life and over my life to let me go through those things. May it be to your glory. And others who say, I was wronged, I've been abused, and God, it's your fault. That's where people end up going.
Right.
So how did you choose the path of compassion and gentleness?
Well, you know what? I have found myself in both of those camps. You know, letting God heal for me has not been an overnight process. And I'm not sure that I'm done being healed yet, because there are days that I still hurt and there's still days that I'm angry, even to the point of bitterness. But I'm really, really, really working hard at saying, God, okay, I acknowledge that I'm hanging on to this. Help me to let go of it and to not grab it again. And each time I do that, it becomes a little easier. And each time I do that, I'm also given a little more insight into what God's doing for me now. In fact, I shared with you earlier today, I'm one of those guys, I like to see the sky writing, you know. God tells me what's around the corner for me. He doesn't work that way. God is working in little steps in my life. And he's showing me, look, I am equipping you. I am healing you. I'm giving you what you need for tomorrow. Not necessarily next week yet, but tomorrow. And so for me, it all comes down to the process of daily turning it over.
And we turn over the things that are real. We can't turn over things we're faking it. I'm learning more and more and being advised about this and counseled about remembering that our emotions are not our enemies and that they are really the thing that tells the truth about what we really believe. And no matter what we say we should be saying, no matter what lip service we give to the truth, what we really believe is how we feel. And letting God deal with our emotions and saying, I really do feel this way, help me with this, is the first step towards him saying, oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to be with you in this journey from this feeling, this belief you have that's so embedded, to a new one that's built on experience with me. And to be able to trade in an old life for a new life. And that those things do come in steps. Today you're not as angry, not because you willed to not be angry, but you willed to go to Jesus and say, I'm angry. Help me with this.
And being willing to say, God, I'm tired of hurting. You know? Nobody likes to carry that. Nobody likes to carry hurt and pain. But for some reason, none of us want to let go of it. And so being willing to acknowledge, I'm a failed, flawed person.
And that that's not the end of the story. I do appreciate, too, the absolute truth of the other side, which is you are complete, whole, and lacking in nothing. Mm-hmm. Both those things are coexisting in us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we have so much dissonance at times, because we can't believe that God truly loves us and empowers us and accepts us fully while we're going through that process.
That's one of the things that I love about the worship arts. Mm-hmm. And when I say worship arts, I mean not just the Sunday morning singing time. Yeah. Because the worship arts can encompass so many things, storytelling, dance, videography, stage design, all those things that become expressions of God's reality.
Yeah. And expressions of our response to that reality.
Exactly. For me, I like to say worship is an outward expression of an inward reality. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about leading worship, because that means that it's okay to acknowledge pain. It's okay to acknowledge hurt. God made us as creative and emotional beings. Yeah. And if we don't acknowledge that, we are not giving God the credit that he deserves.
And know that we would be more expressive outwardly of those inner things. People often think, if I can't do it right the first time, why even try? Mm-hmm. And the point of being pulled up into worship is that he himself is drawing you into an ocean. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching us how to swim. But then we realize that the ocean is actually full of a kind of a heavenly oxygen.
Right.
We are not going to drown and die,
right,
except to ourselves. We are going to come to life by throwing ourselves at the throne of grace and saying, I'm here to be with you, mm-hmm, and to praise you for what you're doing in my life. Do something new today, God. Minister to those around me. Love people through me. Just do something. I can't leave home to come here to have no result, and I can't go back home with nothing. Do something, Lord, please. Mm-hmm. And that kind of abandon to hope is something I think God is always pleased with. Mm-hmm. And so we strive for that in our own strength, but then we also realize there's no way I'm going to produce this in people's lives, but I know that I want it for them and I want it for me.
Right.
So God, make our desires your reality expressed in us. And we start praying different kinds of prayers.
Right.
Those kind of people become more missional in every way. That's why I'm so excited to be meeting with them through the radio day after day, as we mm-hmm do, to remind them that they are absolutely essential to God's plan to reach the world and to redeem the people around you. They are that needed, mm-hmm, by God. He wants us that close. We often say that God doesn't need us to reach people. He can do it himself, but he wants us.
Right.
I'm not sure that's exactly the whole truth. I think he does have a place in him that can only be filled with us. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he finds new expression and presence through, right, us to other people. And he's not giving up on us. He's not waiting for us to give up so he can do something. He wants us to not give up on being his.
Right.
We can lean into him and say, God, whatever you want, there's nothing I can't do because you're doing it through me anyways. Mm-hmm. Let's get busy. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of expectancy. I hope that more people will call out to God for that as well.
Right.
Andy, thank you so much for sharing a bit of your story.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's been 30 years for us, and we probably ought to sit down and have 30 conversations about every one of those years. They're,
right,
full of incredible stories, every one of them. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to sit down and get that kind of reacquaintance going. Now, when you have a spiritual friend like that, that has common experience and his current passion is the same for what God's doing, you can pick up where you left off after decades.
Right.
And I'm sure there are people that are out there listening right now that don't know if they got a friend like that. I would simply encourage them, if you don't know, ask God.
Right.
Maybe there's somebody out there you haven't connected with in a long time that you know God could bless you deeply through if you just be open to it. Don't be afraid to ask him who that person might be and go talk to him.
And there's some great tools for doing that. You know, social media, that's what it's all about, man.
That's how you and I are sitting at this table today, is because social media got us here.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Andy, for being part of Compassion Radio these couple of days.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.